Putting the mental in fundamental, it's the Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.
Ladies and gentlemen, the pub crawl is a code for panel. Basically, it's a bit of a conversation with a whole lot of people. We're streaming live also on Facebook. A big wave to all our Facebook followers out there. Thank you very much. You can watch radio. I've always wanted to do that. Well, who's the guy, the sports guy that wears the sunglasses all the time? You know, on television.
No idea.
Really?
I don't watch sports on TV.
Why do you sound so earthy, Tim? You're loud and deep and...
Because Laura's here and I want to...
Every time Laura comes, Tim goes, "Oh, you smell so good."
And I just don't want to pass out on her again, so I'm just breathing better.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a wonderful story. Moment, yes, it was.
Why is her not her mic? Oh, because you got the mute on. There we
I
go.
Didn't. Oh, you were the one who did the. Never
totally
mind,
Drew
everybody.
Did that, not you,
Let me introduce everybody in the studio. First of all, behind the board, Tim the Tool. On my left is Mari Lee, good friend of mine for many, many years. And then even longer friendship stuff with Gord. That just sounded weird.
Friendship stuff.
It's kind of like friendship, but it's not.
But it's not. Gordo and I have known each other since we were kids. Tim and I have known each other around the same time. Gordo, I think you were my first counselor. Is that true? Or do we argue about that every time?
Well, I don't know if I was your first counselor, but I was your counselor.
Look at how good you turned out.
Did I get homesick?
I don't remember that, but I avoided you.
You did.
The rest of us.
Everyone avoided.
The Q-tip, the walking Q-tip.
Kidding.
Yeah. And, of course, Laura Dewar-Laurie. What a name, Laura Dewar-Laurie. Otherwise known as Cinnamon.
Thanks for that. Yeah. That's awesome.
There go our ratings right up.
Yep.
All right, folks, it's time to chat about a few things. I've got so many things on the brain. Obviously, we need to start off, I think, probably chatting a little bit about Nice. Wasn't too long ago. Let's see, it was 3 years ago where I was walking down that very same road. Beautiful place. One of the most picturesque places in the world. And, of course, it was right after the Bastille Day celebrations and the fireworks had all finished and there was a band playing and they closed the streets off to vehicles, supposedly. And, you know, there were crowds everywhere. And this guy comes along. Now he's now... ISIS has now claimed him officially as one of theirs, and he killed, what is it up to now,
84,
you know, something like that. Still many more in hospital, many more are critical, many children were killed. Part of my job, but also just part of the way my brain works, and I really hope no one is like me, but I sought out the footage and the videos, the unedited ones, and I watched, because not a lot really affects me. Having grown up in the funeral business, I've seen so many things, various homicide and suicide scenes, and I'm pretty desensitized. And these days, I think a lot of us are getting sort of desensitized with the news that's hitting us left, right, and center. It took less than 30 minutes, and possibly even just like 15 minutes, for a man to carry out an attack that killed at least 84 people, 10 of them children, injured 202 more in the French city of Nice. This man drove a 19-ton truck at high speed into the crowds as fireworks went off to show France's Bastille Day national holiday. Eventually, he was shot dead by police. But it was after a run of some 2 kilometers, 1.5 miles, and he did open fire from his vehicle with a pistol, public prosecutor Francois Molin said. So, I mean, what is to be said about this other than what the heck is going on? How crazy is this world that we live in? You know, all that kind of stuff, right? Laura, from your perspective, do you just kind of go, wow, yeah, something else really bad happened? Or is there something different about this one? What do you think?
No, I personally think there's, you know, is nothing sacred anymore. These were families out celebrating what is effectively Independence Day in France. So these are not political targets. These are families. So something about that feels very wrong to me, as did 2 weeks earlier the attack in Turkey, and a couple weeks before that an attack in Lebanon. And it does feel like this particular group, ISIS in this case, just has absolutely no boundaries, no respect. And the whole world starts to feel like a very scary place when it's happening in places as quote-unquote civilized as France.
Is there something different, do you think, Gord, about a gunman shooting in a club versus a lone person driving over people? Is there something, is there a different feel?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I think there's, it does seem different. Somehow the gun thing seems sort of, I don't know, we've seen a lot of shooting, so maybe that's just sort of, that's par for the course. That's what you expect, somebody
right.
to have guns and go in and shoot up.
So this place, is a right? different style of
this
killing.
This is a whole different style, and it seems far more barbaric, if you can say that. I don't
sure.
know why. Both are barbaric, but
well, there's
somehow
a distance.
This seems really brutal.
There's
right?
a distance between you and the bullet, between you
right.
and the victim, right?
right?
The bullet travels a distance, usually, in those sorts of things, whereas
right.
you are literally running over people, person after person
right.
after person after person.
Right. It's quite brutal.
It's interesting, too, by the way, when we weaponize things that we take for granted, whether it's planes or trucks.
Right.
Those are things that we don't expect to pose a threat other than, you know, the traffic accident that happens. But those are accidents. So perhaps it is a little bit different when we weaponize something that is not usually a weapon. A gun is always a weapon.
Hmm. Yeah, it's right. definitely more intimate. I
yeah.
don't know if that's the right word
no,
to use.
No, it is the right word, sure.
But it's so much different when, like you said, you've got the distance between a gun. It's almost impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if the bullet's hitting someone, whatever. But, you know, when you're driving a truck through people, you literally can see their faces just before. You can feel them bouncing off the truck. That's the one thing that caught me, that it's definitely a lot more personal, intimate. I don't know exactly which word to use.
Does this give legitimate ammunition to someone who we're all probably a little tired of hearing from? Does this give legitimate ammunition, so to speak, to Donald Trump? Tim?
That guy could take anything
and make it,
and make it work for him.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But from someone who's maybe not a fan of Donald Trump, do you think, you know, yeah, maybe, or even Newt Gingrich, who's saying anybody who practices Sharia law should be sent away, should be kicked out of the country.
You know, it's tough because...
Come on, man. Come on, tree hugger.
As a history teacher,
yep.
I have difficulty pointing fingers because, you know, we had an indigenous people almost completely wiped out in the name of God. You know, trying to make them better
sure.
Christians.
The United States
and
of
so
America built this great nation on the backs of slaves.
Yes. And I mean, here in Canada, we've got a third world in our backyard with the reservations.
Right.
And how can we sit there and say, oh, those Muslims?
No,
like,
that's not
just,
what I mean.
Because it is what it is. You just said Sharia law. That's an Islamic
but
thing.
You made it sound like all Muslims. And no. You know the Sharia law, those who practice Sharia
law. You know,
law
see, that's the slippery slope.
That's what we're all afraid of, is a slippery slope.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mari, as a mom, right? Young mom, you got two young kids. Your world is changing right in front of your eyes. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, you weren't thinking about this stuff at all. You were just some little girl playing around, thinking about being a mom in the future, thinking about your wedding day. Do you think the world has changed in the short time you've been aware?
Oh, that's a really tough question. I think, from my personal experience, becoming a mom has changed me.
Hmm.
And, I mean, it just changes the way, everything seems so much more real. Some terrorist attack that might have happened in another country maybe didn't feel as close as it does now that I'm a mom.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, for sure. For sure. You'd be way more sensitive to things you weren't before. Gord, when it comes to, again, Donald Trump, and when it comes to, you know, what do we do with these people? Do you see any end to this? Do you see any strategies that the new president could actually invoke?
You know, it's
like this is a win. This is a lose-lose.
It's a lose. I think it's a lose-lose. You know, you hear a lot about these kind of things shouldn't change the way we are. Shouldn't change the way we live because that's what it wants. Yeah, but it does. But because that's what it wants to do, is to change us. And it does change the way we live, because we live in fear. Now do we have to fear every truck that is somewhere where it shouldn't be? That kind of thing. So it's one thing to fear guns and people walking around with guns. You're automatically going to be afraid. But now do we have to do a double check every time we see a truck driving somewhere it shouldn't be?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So this is a new level.
But
so how do you control that? There's no way to control that. Do you just put a ban on trucks in certain areas and put up barriers everywhere so trucks can't get somewhere? So what do you do about this? This is really, really impossible to deal with. So then you target the people, right? You target the type of people or what you think is the type of people who might do this. So you take it one step further than the actual mechanism to the person doing it. And how do you identify that type of person? It's very difficult. So all these things that Donald Trump is saying, they make some logical sense, but it's the dangers behind them that is that's what the danger is once you go there, where do you draw the lines? And who's the right person to make the decision about who are these people and how do we isolate them and then therefore put controls on them so that
okay. But see, the interesting thing, sorry, just risk. That the big
you're thing, in the hallway. How do you even know what we're talking about?
Because you were talking about the same thing when I walked out. I listened carefully, unlike you. The British, of course, I can't remember the name of it now. They just did the big thing.
The Queen?
No, they had a big. My words escape me. About entering the Iraq War.
Right.
And they just had a big.
The Saudis were involved?
No, it was whether or not they were justified to go in.
Right.
And ultimately, they knew they shouldn't have.
Right.
And a lot of what we're seeing right now falling apart in the Middle East is because they went in, that it was an unjustified, it was a weapons of mass distraction, and they created this vacuum.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't. I don't think that the guy in the van running over everybody was sitting there going,
No.
The British people lied to us.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
They started a war based on lies.
What they happened is they've opened up Pandora's box. I think that's the problem, is that they went in there, they did things.
You know what?
I think it's just an excuse. It's the excuse that's pointed to for hatred.
Yep. And it's based in ignorance. You look around at the kind of barbaric behavior that goes on in various countries around the world, and the reality is this world is not a civilized place. There are civilized places in this world, but this world is not a civilized place.
We like to think they're civilized places.
Sure, we like to think that because we live in our little couchy.
But we're not.
Well, it's only civilized if the people living in that civilization agree to be civilized.
Whoa, say that again, man.
I don't think I can, actually.
Shall we go to Black Lives Matter now after we made that statement?
So this is the thing that kind of wigs me out, segueing from Nice, France into Donald Trump. Evangelicals are rallying to support Trump. Religious nuns are supporting Clinton. And for our listeners, we're not talking about bad habits. We're talking about the different kind of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, okay? Those who say, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm not part of any particular religion. I don't go to church, okay? I'm not part of that category. So they're nuns. So the nuns are backing Clinton. The evangelicals are rallying to support Trump. Nearly four-fifths of white evangelical voters plan to cast their ballots for Donald J. Trump, despite his multiple marriages, lack of piety, and inconsistency on the issues they care about the most. This is what these people are still going for. This is one of the reasons that I had to take a hard look years ago as to whether or not I wanted to remain an evangelical. Because if I want to believe in this, in what this tribe believes, and identify with this group, I just can't do it anymore because I don't believe the way they believe. And I also think that there's a lot of knee-jerk spirituality and politics in this group. So I was walking yesterday around the trail in Orangeville, around the reservoir, and I knew this guy coming towards me, and he just doesn't shut up, man. He goes on and on, kind of like me on a Saturday, about Republican this and Republican that and how Republicans are awesome. And he's just totally – he could be living in the South as redneck as all get out, and he would vote for Republican no matter who was there. Mr. Dress-Up was – actually, he'd be a pretty good president.
He'd be good.
He'd be great. He could just whip out get the tickle trunk going. Yes. And
Casey and Finnegan.
Oh, that'd be like the defense minister.
Yes.
And
Secretary of State.
Minister. Anyway, my point is, what is wrong with people, especially the Christians? All they need is just one presidential candidate to get a little Jesus-y, mention Jesus once or twice, get a little selfie with Jesus, and they vote for him, no matter where they're at with all these different policies. I don't understand. Laura, please fill in the blanks.
I'm so glad you asked me about this one. I'm trying to think already how I'm going to share my opinion without sharing my opinion about Mr. Trump and all of evangelical dumb.
Emphasis on the dumb.
Emphasis on the dumb. I think it's interesting where we believe that what we believe has power and where it doesn't. And I think it's interesting how we apply our norms and our rules and how convenient they become. So to your point about Donald Trump's history, if this was many other candidates, in fact, if this was a Democratic candidate, we'd be all over him for his moral improprieties.
Sure.
But Donald, we love. And we're willing to literally go to bat for him and throw our support behind him. I don't know. I find it a level of hypocrisy that is incredibly hard to stomach. It's really hard to have respect.
So, Mari, when we were driving down here, you know, you said, well, what was your question about Donald Trump again?
Oh, I just wanted to know what you thought of him, right? Remember?
See, like do you remember what I said? Because I said awesome stuff. Can you remember? Because I can't.
When you talk, one of you has got to be listening.
Someone's got to be listening. Someone, please. No, I think what I was saying.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, go ahead. You go first.
No, you go.
It was just something that you said. It may be, quoting the words of Drew Marshall, may be refreshing along those lines to have somebody who can just come in and not be a puppeteer for everybody else.
We're going to find out if he gets in. Yeah, whether who's wagging the dog, right? We're going to find out if the president is really a puppet or not, because he certainly comes across like he's not being bought. Is that true or not? And
he's like traded something to get the support of the evangelicals.
Yes.
He's traded something.
Yes, yes. Does he have a soul? Not anymore.
It's in his hair.
Questionable.
What I think it's really interesting that this time, the only reason he is even eligible as a potential president of the United States is because he's running now. If he ran 30 years ago, there's no way this would happen. But he's running now in a time where we are wondering what to do with these Muslims, what to do with this, you know, war that's now on our turf. We're sick of politicians. We don't trust politicos.
And that's why Bernie Sanders did so well.
Right.
Because of the same reason. I mean, the opposite side of the coin, but for the exact same reasons, we're sick.
So would it not be an amazing and very interesting thing to see Donald Trump go in as president? Much in the same way that I think the best thing for the Catholic Church would be for all of the priests who did all the bad stuff. All of that stuff leads into the Catholic Church being sued to brokenness. The best thing for the Catholic Church, for that organization to be broke. Honestly, spiritually, that'd be the best thing for it.
I don't know. When you look at what the new Pope is doing and his...
Except him. Don't wreck my good story with the
news. Right?
Ah,
I mean,
he's
but
awesome.
His whole platform, he is bringing back, he's bringing the whole narrative back to love and humility. And he reaches people in this most amazing way. So I don't know if I agree with you on that point. And here's what is clever about Donald Trump and the way he's managed his campaign. He's speaking out. He is leveraging fear, to Gordon's earlier point. He has levered fear
sorry,
in a way.
Whose earlier point?
Gordon's.
Gordon. Hello, Gordon.
Right?
Oh, that was me.
And so he's leveraged fear in a way that has people's attention, and he appears to be the person who's not afraid to speak out
right.
against the establishment, against politicians, against the East,
He's the Don Cherry of American politics.
Yeah.
And that's why they love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to say something on that because...
Gordon?
What we see...
I'm sorry, what did you call him earlier? Gordo? I don't feel like I know him well.
No, you
can't.
You cannot call him Gordo.
Give him a week and can drop the N.
We hear a lot about this word because it's in the news all the time. Ideology. The Islamic extremist ideology is what the danger is. These dangerous ideologies. Well, that's what's happening in the States. We have two opposing ideologies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Republican ideology and the Democrat ideology as well. And when you buy into an ideology, you're really very, very, very tunnel vision, very myopic. Isn't that the word?
Yeah, myopic, yeah.
Yeah. You just see one thing, and that's the goal. And you're willing to accept a lot of stuff in order to get closer to that goal. And I think that's what's going on in the States. It's been going on for years politically. You see the polarization between those two, the two camps. And it's happening up here now, too, as well, in Canada, in very laid-back, relaxed Canada.
And it's happened in the
Canada.
UK on the heels of their referendum vote. I just came back from Lebanon. I have to say, it's completely...
You just came back from Lebanon?
Reprehensible. It's even more reprehensible based on what I've currently seen and experienced.
What have you just seen and experienced?
Well, we were in the settlements of the Syrian refugees and the very people, these people, that... Donald talks about. Now I'm going. I started with Mr. Trump, and now I'm at Donald. So you can tell my level of anger is increasing. Yeah.
Donnie,
right?
Yeah.
Donnie,
the Donald,
the big D. that, right? So just meeting the people that we refer to as those people and why they are really doing what they are doing and hearing their stories firsthand and understanding that it is not as simple as painting everything with a big broad brush. You come back and see now him in action. It's just that much tougher to take.
Okay, we are in the middle of the pub crawl on the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live on our Facebook page, the video. We're just going to give everyone a little wave. How you doing, everybody? Nice to see you. We're also streaming live audio on drewmarshall.ca, drewmarshall.ca, and I don't know, some other
on
places.
On the radio, even.
Oh, yeah, you can go to the radio, too. Yeah, I forgot about that. Let's play a little clip here, Tim, if you don't mind. While singing a solo verse of the anthem, one of the tenors changed the lyrics. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north strong and free, to we're all brothers and sisters, all lives matter to the great. Doesn't even rhyme, loser. He held up a sign bearing the message, all lives matter. So let's have a listen. And sing along.
True patriot love, in all thy sons command.
All right, pay attention.
We're all brothers and sisters, all lives matter to the great.
And we don't need to hear anymore because now it's singing it in French. Okay. What?
Is the crowd cheering or booing?
Booing.
I don't know.
They did a bit of both.
A bit of both. Oh. I think, I'm just even surprised that the Americans knew they changed the words to the Canadian
That's
national
impressive.
Anthem. Right?
That was it wasn't that they knew they changed the lyrics. It's just all of a sudden those lyrics came out. All lives matter.
Well, he was holding up a sign, so.
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. Yeah.
That's probably what they were reacting to.
I don't remember those lyrics.
First of all, anybody have a problem with someone trying to get a point across during a national anthem? Is it really a big deal?
Yeah.
First yes, of all, it's
yeah.
a big deal.
First of all, we're Canadians. Are we really that ramped up about our national anthem?
We should be.
It's yeah. a lack of respect.
Mm-hmm. It is a lack of respect. It's a national anthem.
Really?
They just got freaked out about changing it to genderless. Trudeau just and his government just changed some of the lyrics to make it genderless.
Right.
And they got upset about that. Like, this is way beyond that.
I think that was because it was genderless, not because it was changing the national anthem. Because we have changed the national anthem before.
People were freaking about changing the lyrics.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But it was because it was to the genderless thing. It was, you know, last time we changed. What was the thing we did last time? Didn't we change... I don't even remember.
There was a bit of a freak out the last time, too.
There was.
Yeah.
I was young.
I think it was about the reference to God in the.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was the God thing.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And he's in.
He's in. God's
he's in.
Yeah. And he's loving every minute of it. little Seinfeld reference there for the kids. So, All Lives Matter, this is a tweet I saw. All Lives Matter is like someone tweeting, pray for Nice. And then I say, well, what about all the other cities in the world? They've suffered too. Do you see that point? Do you understand that point? Why are you all staring at me?
There's
radio.
There's a number of sides to the Black Lives Matter thing, and I think the most important thing is those of us in this room right now are white.
So we're not allowed to have an opinion.
No, I think we don't understand. I've seen a couple of sort of
I'm gonna stop you because the premise of that argument is I don't buy that. I have a brain. I've studied a lot. I've listened to a lot. Unfortunately, what gets hijacked in this are the hijackers like Desmond Cole, who is this smug punk who's part of the Black Lives Matter thing in Toronto, who I've sat on a panel with at News Talk 1010. And immediately I thought, oh, how do I dance with this guy? It's a no-win situation. He's going to be angry his entire freaking life.
Oh, yeah.
And your pushback to that is, well, you just don't understand and you don't have an opinion. You shouldn't say anything.
It's not that
I don't think you
have an opinion. I just think that you don't truly understand.
Okay.
I would say I agree with that to some degree, although I don't think they're entirely alone.
Oh, no, no,
right?
No.
So the first part of the question, I think, was that a disrespectful thing to do in that circumstance? I think it didn't give honor to what they were asked to do in that particular case at a baseball game.
Aside
you
from
were asked
else,
to rep
yeah.
your country, and that wasn't representative of the country.
I think it was marketing 101.
That's not cool. That is not cool.
Yep.
But he's paid a price. I think, on the other hand, the all Black Lives Matter thing, I think it's important to a particular group of people, and I can't understand what it's like to be black, but I do have my own unique set of experiences, and I think that this I think that this approach from an angry perspective is not going to get us any further.
No.
That's the problem, is that we need to create healthy dialogue somehow where we're all represented at the table and can have a discourse, as opposed to I'm going to be at the table and as long as I shout loud enough,
right,
I can drown out the other voices.
Well, the problem with that, though, Laura, is that Desmond Cole can shout louder than you. Sorry about your ears.
My head just exploded.
Sorry about your ears. You okay there, Mari? Now, so Mari and I live out in the country. Gord, you live in the city, so you're surrounded by various cultures.
A lot of cultures.
What's your name again? Tim. Tim. You teach in B-Town. You've got a variety of cultures. Again, Laura, you're a city girl. Mari and I live in Wonder Bread Central, right?
And I grew up in Northern Ontario.
Yeah. Where again?
Kirkland Lake.
Kirkland Lake, eh?
Beauty.
Yeah. So
I grew up in Sudbury.
Oh, can we not have a moment?
Good things come out of the north.
Look at these northern girls.
Yes.
Toronto born.
Throwing it down.
And they have all their teeth.
I can spell Mississauga.
So,
and we play hockey.
So do you think that there is an ignorance for those of us that live out in the country, because it really doesn't impact us? Black Lives Matter, whatever, okay, fine. We don't care. We don't see the black people. Like what? There's 6 black people in our town. Do we really care about this issue? Do you care about Black Lives Matter?
About the group themselves,
yeah,
or the
issues? The plight of the black people today because they're getting shot by cops, etc.
Are you saying that because I live in a bubble? That no, I do care because this is the world we live in. It's not our town. Our town is in a world. It's bigger than just where we live.
No one has been shot by a cop in our town. There aren't any blacks in our town, really. So why do we care? Why do you care? What does
because
it matter?
There's the opportunity for us to explore this world. And our world is not just our town.
And how long will the borders of your town be safe? Like, you just, you
well,
don't
they
know.
Let me in.
We're really, they're indiscriminate true, yeah. up in Orangeville. the rest of us, however. And frankly, as moms, I would have to think that we share this also, in addition to our northern upbringing. We might one day send kids out into this world.
Right.
That's right? So I want my kids to be global citizens. They should have opportunity that goes well beyond the place that they grew up in. By the way, they've not grown up in a single place, right? And families don't do that anymore. We're a little bit more transient. So I just think that the notion that where I live, it's okay, so I don't need to care, I hope that's not true.
But I do understand, thinking about where I grew up in Kirkland Lake, I do understand to a certain degree that, I mean, that is so reserved that
you're not allowed to say reserved.
I'm sorry, that is so
conservative.
Yes, thank you. Well,
Where is it that the indigenous people live now? They're not called reserves.
No, they're called reserves.
Oh, you can still use that?
Like reserved from everything else. Like, it's you've got to take a highway to get there, and you know, you go
paying
through
attention
bush
again, Drew Marshall.
You know, you lose.
reserve!
Would it matter if we were here?
Really?
No. I know.
Why?
We're totally superfluous.
I think what I was going to make, if I can get my brain to function again, is that, so maybe I can see how you're going to get to that point of, I grew up there, and I probably saw, I watched City TV or Global or whatever, and it was like, oh, that's happening down there. It's really too bad. Yeah, because I am 8 hours away. So I can see how you think some people who didn't care about the rest of the world may think like that.
I think the vast majority of people in the outside of the GTA don't give a holy grunt about this issue. So in other words, when the tenors sing, they're basically plugging the All Lives Matter hashtag. They go, well, what's the big deal? I've always thought that. It's not just black people. What about these people? What about that people? What about that people? Gord, do you think the phrase All Lives Matter is a shot to Black Lives Matter?
I think it definitely is. Absolutely. I mean, it's obviously a play on those words. So, yes, it is a shot. It's a
really?
Shot. Absolutely.
So you thought Buddy Tanner guy
think,
was taking a shot at Black Lives Matter?
I think so. I think not so much a shot, but basically saying Black Lives Matter is really just a small part of the issue.
Right.
All lives do matter in the grand scheme of things. So I think he's saying basically let's not focus on just black lives, because there's lots of problems. I live in a part of Toronto where white is a minority. I'm a minority where I live. When I go up the street to the closest mall where I am, it's mostly non-white people, lots of brown and lots of black. So I can't say I've ever been actually suffered persecution like my life I can't be as successful in life because of the fact that I'm white in a non-white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I've felt bigotry. I have felt that.
Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I'm white. I've felt that on a couple of occasions in my life.
Tim, why don't you shoot him down the way I would if I you would with me if I'd said that? Shoot him down.
I'm not trying to compare that to being a black
person.
He's a
middle-aged,
in a white dominated society.
White male North American. He's got no rights.
I disagree. We've got all the rights.
I'm not talking about rights. I'm not talking about that grand scheme of thing. But I've felt on a one-on-one level, yeah, I felt bigoted.
And I think people would say, good, welcome to my life.
Exactly.
I still think that's,
and that's
horrible.
Why black it's lives matter.
And that's why all lives matter.
Yeah. But see, I think I read something, you know, and I hate to bring in Jesus here at a Drew Marshall show, but it was like this idea that, you know, when you look at Jesus and what he did, you know, when he was in certain places and working with certain people, they were the most important thing to him. You know, it was a Samaritan woman that was his focus. Samaritan lives matter. You know, when he was with the Gentiles, that was his focus. You know, Gentile lives matter. So right now the issue is black lives matter. You know, when you have the cops in their, you know, specially high tech, you know, cameras all of a sudden stopped working just as the shots were fired.
Okay, we're gonna segue into that in a moment.
No, but see, this is what I'm saying, and
did your voice just crack?
Yes, because my drugs are failing me now. I'm more comfortable with Lara being here, so I'm getting to my real voice. But I think the issue, we have to acknowledge this issue. Yes, all lives matter, but the problem right now is the group that is getting shafted and at the low end of the stick is the black lie. We have to acknowledge it.
I will say, because I agree with Tim on this, that I have a wonder question. I wonder, your comment earlier, Drew, about does anyone care about this other than the people in the GTA? And I think that there are communities involved in this discussion and dialogue that do care about it, that are united across Canada. So you might not care about it if you live in Kirkland Lake and you're not affected by this particular issue, but you might care about it if you live in Kirkland Lake and you're a member of a police force.
Right.
Because this is a very live discussion amongst police forces right now. And so equally, the suggestion that all police officers are bigoted is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Or that all police officers make bad judgment calls, also inappropriate. And they're getting painted with a brush right now.
Yeah. Sure. All right, let's move on to the issue that we just sort of talked about a little bit, and it's how the cops are being perceived these days. First of all, when I was growing up, my mom would scold me for saying the word cops. Anybody else remember that?
My dad was an OPP, so we weren't allowed to use anything other than the expression police officer.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I never knew your dad was OPP, and now I'm even more terrified of you.
I remember being in Australia, and some of the licenses on the police cars were PIG. I don't think they got the joke.
Mm. Really?
Yeah. I obviously, you know, slang is different in Australia, but my buddy Rob and I kind of giggled.
When you saw that.
Yeah, PIG.
You'd be in big trouble in our house.
Wasn't that a Michael Jackson song? It's PYT.
Yes.
Sorry, wrong thing. Okay, I would rewatch the videos of Philando Castile and the other gentleman whose name I did not write down for some reason.
Alton Sterling, I
think. Thank you, yes. And I was reading some tweets and some articles, and here's something that I thought was interesting. A black pastor from Dallas asked this question. You know, he said, there's a black man pointing a gun at police. Can we even get 5 minutes to negotiate? And herein, I think, lies the problem. If you are going to point a gun at a cop, I'm sorry, 5 minutes to negotiate, I don't care what skin color you are, you don't get rights. You don't get rights if you're going to walk around with an unlicensed gun in your hand, which buddy who sold the CDs had. Everyone said, no, not the CDs. It was the other guy who got shot in the car, and don't even get me started on this scenario, which I am getting started. The lady who Facebook live streamed the video said you asked him for his papers for his gun. He was just getting his license. Well, we found out now that, number one, he wasn't licensed for the gun. Number two, if he wasn't licensed, what was he reaching for? Mm-hmm. Number three, there are other videos that this lady has posted of herself smoking up her face off in the car. Smoking up her face off. How white am I?
You're really hip to culture.
Oh, yeah, babe.
That's why he's got the hipster beard going.
Word. So she's smoking up in the car. Her four-year-old is in the back seat. I've watched a couple of videos of her kid being in the back seat while she's just got the Facebook streaming on her, and she's singing the tunes or whatever, and just smoking up. Kids in the back seat, and the kid is asking numerous times, "Can we go, Mom? Can we? We were supposed to watch the fireworks. Can we just go? Can we just go?" So I'm sorry, but I'm not cool with all of that. When you watch the thing, the lady seems so polite and so, yes, officer, yes, sir, yes, you know, all the right words, and he was just getting his license. It's all garbage. Garbage. That's number one. Number two, the guy selling the CDs. Looks like they were bringing a gun out of his pocket. I'm not sure whether that's true or not. I don't think it's been definitively proven one way or the other. But if you've got to be wrestled to the ground and then you don't stay still again, I'm sorry, something's going to happen. Am I a racist, Timmy? You're looking at me like I should go hug a tree.
I think there's just...
Why are you so loud?
...too much going on. And we're like Egypt. We're just full of denial, and I think we're avoiding the issue. You know, just a year or two ago, a guy was choked to death for selling illegal cigarettes. He was black. He was choked to death. Speaking about intimate.
Was he struggling? I'm not saying.
Of course he was. He's. I can't breathe.
I know, but
what are you going to do when someone's got a death hold on your neck?
Right.
What are you going to do?
Right.
Like.
And I'm. Please don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying. Obviously, I'm not saying it's cool for the cops to have done that. But what I've learned when it comes to hanging out with people I know who are cops, families of cops, those involved in the litigious aspect of all of these cases, lawyers, attorneys, etc., is there's always, always, always more to the story. Always. We see a clip, we judge, and we think that's the truth. Mm. And it ain't always the truth. Ain't always.
No, and it goes for the cops
usually
as well.
Usually it's not. Yeah. So are
it
there
goes
bad,
both ways.
Are there bad cops? Yes.
But and I'm
are
not there saying
a lot
there
are
bad
of,
cops.
Are there a lot of bad cops? Gord, do you get the feeling there's a lot of bad cops? Do you get the feeling that we're in a society where we've got to rehaul the cop system?
Well, there may be some problems in the system that need to be addressed, but that doesn't mean that there's a lot of bad cops either. I think most cops, vast
Absolutely.
Majority of cops, are great cops. There are going to be a few bad ones, and there are going to be problems in the system that need to be addressed. That's, you know, it's a terrible shame when it comes to the point of people dying, whether it be black or white. You know, we had in Toronto had a guy a couple years ago, that guy in the streetcar that was.
Right.
Losing it, right?
Yep.
He was a white 18. Guy, right?
Yep.
So, he was white, wasn't he?
Ish.
No.
White-ish?
Yeah. No, he wasn't like full on. He was like a soft, I don't know how to do colors.
Mixed,
yeah.
maybe?
He wasn't black. Yeah.
No.
Right.
But he wasn't white.
What was he?
Like I said, he
really?
Was mixed. Yep.
Okay.
He was mixed.
So let's move on.
Race didn't seem to be an issue in
no.
that whole thing anyways. So things like that happen, and it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And there are problems with certain cops and problems with the system. They need to be addressed. The problem is that the victims groups, the groups that identify with the victims, tend to want to promote their own agenda. And they blow things out of proportion in order to do that. And it gets political coverage or media coverage, rather. And it just gets blown up. And yeah, there's always things that we don't know. Like you said, Drew, there's parts of it that we're missing. And we make our minds up because of media
yeah.
on these short little bits of information that we get, which isn't the full story.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talk about the cops maybe erasing the tape, you know, or doing, should we get rid of this footage? But the lady who filmed the Facebook thing, that wasn't the whole story again as well. So I was ready to kind of go on that one. Oh, yeah, dude, that was horrible. You're sitting in your car, you're reaching for your wallet or license for the gun, and cop all of a sudden shoots you, and man, there's just so much more behind it now, right?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what it's like to be pulled over because of the color of my skin.
Right.
I also don't know what it's like to put my life on the line every day mm-hmm. in the face of racial tensions, the threat of terrorism. I think police officers today are under a tremendous amount of strain, and I don't think we can identify in those moments where our adrenaline is rushing and we're not sure if our life is being threatened or the lives of others, how I personally would respond. So my great hope is that we're doing things in our police services and all of our emergency services personnel to train them better, mm. whether it's dealing with homeless people or dealing with black people
mental
or dealing,
health.
Right? Because
yeah,
mental
I think
health
that's
comes
the
into
bigger
homelessness.
Issue here.
And I think that we've got to create, the onus is on us as taxpayers to make sure that those people who are protecting us are well-trained. Right? And getting the help that they need to overcome the fears that they face in their job.
Mari?
And I just want to know, too, where did the lack of, I mean, not where did it, like, I grew up being, if a police officer came and told you to stop doing something, mm-hmm. well, he's the authority. You listen to him.
Tim, what's happened?
I can tell you exactly what's happened. Tim's got an answer.
Yep, here we go.
I can tell you exactly what happened. As a teacher, I get painted with the same brush when we go on strike. All teachers are lazy. All teachers are bad. And there's this interesting cartoon. I mean, it circles around teachers. You know, 1970s, you know, you're at the parent-teacher interview, and they're yelling at the kid, how could you do this, this mark? You know, what aren't you doing? And now we fast forward to 2000s, and the joke is the parents are yelling at the teacher mm-hmm. for their student not passing. I think that is part of the problem. Society's changed, missing the connection. A complete lack of respect for authority. Mm-hmm. I think there has been. I thought you were going to go.
Well, cops have been bad to black people, and that's why they don't listen to them anymore. You aren't going to say that?
No, I'm going to say that there have been situations where the media, like Gord has said, has taken things and convinced us that that is what it is. And as a result, we become jaded, we become wary, we look at the police and say, you know, really, you're going to pull me over and this is what you guys are doing?
This is how you're spending your time when there's real criminals out there
yeah.
or whatever?
Yeah, it could be all of that stuff.
From responsibility to entitlement.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's compounded by the fact that when we comment about media, by the way, the very clip we're talking about isn't media. It's everybody's a broadcaster.
Right, yeah.
I have to tell you, I watched that clip. One of the hardest things I found about watching the clip...
Was the girl in the back seat?
Was not just the child yeah. who's being ignored while we're filming.
Totally ignored.
But the fact that so is the dying guy next to her while she's filming.
It's not about him.
So I keep thinking to myself, if I had to put... If that was me, which, you know, it wouldn't be, but I get it. If that was Stu next to me and he'd been shot... Would I be going, I better capture this on film? Or would I be going, holy crap, how do I stop the bleeding? How do I calm the situation down and get an ambulance here to save my guy?
Yeah. You actually have to like go on your phone, open the Facebook app.
Okay, that brings me to a quick sidebar here. Some of the footage I saw in Nice was from a cell phone, and somebody was walking around filming the bodies on the ground. So a couple of responses there. One is, who does that? Who walks around with a cell phone filming the bodies? But the other side of it is, I was actually quite thankful for me personally that I was able to actually grasp the carnage because of that footage. Because the rest of the footage was so fleeting, it was just sterile. This thing brought it home to me. So I have this duality here, who walks around with a camera filming this stuff? Why aren't you helping somebody? And then at the same time, I'm watching that clip, right?
So, where there's a crowd of people and people are already getting helped. I did talk with a filmmaker in Lebanon who said sometimes when they're in the middle of these situations, he is the guy filming because he's trying to get a message out to the rest of the world where they feel very ignored.
Right.
Right? So he feels it's his job, his art, his craft, his way of getting the word out.
Speaking of being ignored, final thing on the Black Lives Matter. The Pride Parade? Really? This is fascinating. This is like two loud worlds colliding. Mm-hmm. We're here, we're queer, get used to it. That's what it used to be years ago, and they've refined it over the number of years, but it's still very strong and loud and proud. I get it. And now the Black Lives Matter, and they both converged on this scene during Pride Day, and I just went, wow, this is a sociological phenomena happening right in front of me. This is so interesting. I don't think it was a cool move, but at the same time, listen, you got to do what you got to do in order to get the attention. You know, maybe the tenors, nobody was hiring them, and now they did a stunt, publicity stunt, and now
it's quite the opposite. People are hiring. It's quite the opposite for them. I've seen interviews with them, and they're actually worried about losing work now because of what he did. The Black Lives Matter interrupting the Pride Parade, I do have a problem with that, and you need to understand that the Pride Parade is not some sort of, you know, fun celebration in its birth.
Oh, right.
It was actually a protest against the bathhouse raids back in the 80s, and it was a protest. And
when two protests meet, I thought it would have created an element of peace, you know.
Interestingly, I guess they just weren't paying attention to each other, and if they had talked about it, who knows? I don't know.
It's weird. Here's an interesting article. You ready? Ontario won't entertain a request from Toronto City Council to ban pedestrians from texting while crossing the street, instead dishing out a bit of common sense advice is what they did. Moving on!
But they're letting people play in hockey on the streets again.
Yes, that was cool.
I'm pretty happy about that.
That was way cool.
Yes.
Who was the jerk? Was that McGinty that put a bullet in that one?
Miller. No, it was a city thing. It was Toronto.
Miller.
Oh, it was Miller. Say it again with that tone you had.
Miller.
Miller. Hello, Miller.
Miller.
And wasn't it City Councilor Kristen Carmichael, who actually raised that again in City Council and said, this is kind of ridiculous. We need to rethink this.
The ball hockey thing?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
The road hockey thing. So that was a really good move. She's a first-time councilor for the City of Toronto and a personal friend. And
yes.
I think that's well done on her.
Well, what was her name again? I don't know
Kristen
her name.
Kristen Carmichael Greb.
She has to have three names?
Yeah.
Really, Laura, do or Lori?
Yeah.
Do you guys hang out in a
we
support
all,
group?
We all, like everybody with three names,
is
knows each other.
She from the North, too?
She's not. She's a Toronto gal.
Another thing we have in common.
Here's a really fascinating, controversial issue. Rolling Stones frontman Mick Jagger, 72, is to become a father again for the 8th time. Okay, no one cares about that.
Stop me.
No, there is a part of me that goes, that's the epitome of narcissism. When you're 72 and you're fathering a child that you're going to be around for maybe in what? I don't know, whatever, how many years. I don't know. And then I remember we talked about this one other time and somebody said, who cares? It's not your life. Let them do what they want. Is that how you feel,
yeah,
Laura?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was you that said that to me.
I don't think it was me that said it. I just think that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants. Like, this is like against all the other things we talked about today.
Okay, fine.
He's a rock star. Okay. Let him do what he wants to do.
Fine.
I think you're jealous.
I am.
What?
Because it's 72.
29-year-old ballerina.
Fathers don't really matter anymore anyway.
Yeah, so. Fathers don't matter. Fathers don't. Sorry. Okay, we had a Facebook follower. Her name is, I'm not going to pronounce this right. Almila? A-L-M-I-L-A. How would you say that? Almila. Anyway, she lives over in Turkey.
Oh.
So I'm going to be sending her a message to find out how she's doing and what's going on now. Because
yeah,
that's
a whole
awesome
a coup, yes. Military coup.
Anyway.
That did not survive.
It
no,
did not.
It didn't, yeah. No.
But she said the question for the Drew Marshall Show is how much of women being treated poorly is embedded in monotheistic religions? Laura Dewar Laurie. And really what we're talking about is you can pull scripture verses from all of the monotheistic belief systems that solidly indicate poor treatment of women in our context now. In those days, that was. In this day, here in Ontario, it is not. It still slips out every once in a while, but it is not. But in other countries around the world, it still is. They are still living like those old biblical
days. Second class
citizens. It still is archaic over there. So is it the monotheistic religion itself that is the problem, because it does write, it has recorded stuff of you know, how we should be treating women like second-class citizens? Or is it the culture of the area and the ignorance of that tribe? What do you think, Laura?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's yes to all of those.
Okay.
And I think the suggestion that it happens over there and not here is naive. And to my own tribe, I would say Deborah. Who is, you know, a judge and a warrior in the Old Testament,
yes.
Right?
Oh,
and
I thought we were talking about Blondie.
I think we pick and choose things that suit our purposes and our ends. And but I hate to over spiritualize this, but we've had half of our tribe kept under for too long, and it's been to someone's benefit, not the kingdom's.
You're talking about the Jesus people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, the Jesus people.
It's a power thing.
It is a power thing.
And because people don't necessarily agree with power or won't get fired up about power, when you attach religion to it, that's when it all sort of gets fired up. There's no such thing as a religious war. It's all about power. Osama bin Laden wasn't trying to do something from the glory of Allah. He was trying to get power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, you look at Jesus, he was very clear about how important women were. You know, he's hanging out with a Samaritan woman who was an adulterer. Like, that's, in that context, back then, that was like, no, you don't do that.
No.
Well,
you know,
and you're not usually an adulterer alone, right?
Yeah, oh, exactly. There's always two sides to every story.
Wait, what do you mean?
What you're saying, though, then, is going against what Drew's point was, is that that's not really embedded in our monotheistic religion, in Christianity. It's the culture around Christianity that really has that problem, not the religion itself, not the Christian faith.
Right, and but when you want power, you can't just say women, blah, blah, blah. What you do is like, oh.
The Bible says.
The Bible says, the Quran says, the Upanishad said, and as soon as you attach religion to it, that's when people get fired up.
Right.
And there are examples. I mean, in Islam itself, you know, Muhammad's wife was treated as an equal. But since that point, they are no longer considered equals.
So if you get an ignorant culture with ignorant clergy, who are men who want to subjugate, that's the perfect recipe to keep women down.
Yes. Power. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with God.
True story?
True story. And by the way, there are loads of examples all over the world where we are empowering women socioeconomically, and they are raising up cultures and economies and marketplaces and generations that will be different than previous. So this, I was in my experience in Lebanon, it was so amazingly eye-opening on every level, but watching women be treated in a way that feels in my North American self-righteousness like less than, it's very difficult. And it's very overt there and very under the watermark here. But it's time for religious zealots and people of certain ideologies to start supporting and empowering women.
So vote Trump. Okay.
He'll be perfect for the job. He'll be perfect.
Well, it's either that or a chick in a pantsuit. Come on. Which one do you want?
A chick in a pantsuit.
Yeah, baby. That's what I said.
Okay. That's fighting words.
I'm trying to poke Laura. She's much more funner on the show when you poke her, eh?
Yes. There,
I notice he sat as far away from me as he possibly could.
Okay. He'll be sitting there in a minute.
I've seen this before where they say things from a distance.
Yeah.
From a distance.
It's okay. On the drive home, Mari will
start ripping up paper and throwing it.
Yeah. All right. Listen, a short break. We're running out of time, but that was important. Useless television is not so important, but we'll come back and play a little bit of useless television trivia.